right, we've got a couple of things to do before we get into the sermon tonight. So, I have some Bible verses I need. So, Clarice, can you grab your pen and work your artistic wonder on the whiteboard with immense enthusiasm? All right, so we should have a reference from Ecclesiastes. Do you have somewhere from Ecclesiastes? Because if you do, I need you to let... I have totally forgotten Carlos's name. Carlos knows the verse, and he is going to read it out. Because you know what I thought? I thought these verses need a Spanish accent. That's what I thought. So give the man the Bible reference. He'll look it up, and he is going to wax eloquent as he reads it out. Where have we gone? Go for it. Is it really? That's not fun. We'll need to log back in if we can. All right, Carlos, when you're ready. Nice and quiet, hushed and reverent tones, everybody. Shh. How about you write down, he hath made everything beautiful. Where? From the beginning. Can you say Ecclesiastes again? It sounds so much better when you say it than when I do. Can you say it in Spanish?
Ecclesiastes.
Can you say Cam in Spanish?
Yeah,
in Spanish. All righty. Sophia. Do you have a proverb for Carlos to read out? Proverbs 19, verse 1.
Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and his
tongue. I'm going to need you to read it again because these boys here did not appreciate your beautiful accent, as well as, more importantly, the words of life you were reading. So hush, boys, and listen again.
Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his and is upright.
Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. If you're trying to figure out where to read, if you're like, hey, I don't know where to read. There's lots of good places to read. But if you're like, I need some help, young fellow, put your hands up if you're a young man. Do you know why? Do you know what God did? God gave the book of Proverbs for young men. Do you know why? I was a young man once. Do you know why God gave the book of Proverbs to young men? Do any of you older fellas know? You're an old man sipping on your hot chocolate. Is that what we got? Yeah. What's the book of Proverbs for young men? Why did God give young men the book of Proverbs?
Teach from an old man's perspective wisdom.
See, he's much nicer. I was going to say because young men are stupid. And God gave them the book of Proverbs. We need some help. And girls, don't get all prideful. And when a fella turns around and says, I'm looking for a Proverbs 31 woman, you tell him, well, you better be a Proverbs 1 through to 30 man. No, that's the man. That's the list. No, that's not the age. Okay. Simple answer to that question. How you going, Clarice? Doing okay. I want to leave these verses up. You know why? Because you don't need a preacher to find some truth from God's word. It's good. God's given us preachers. I'm going to talk about that a little bit tonight. But you need to be able to open up the Bible. It doesn't matter how much you know it. You need to be open it up and read it and go, hey, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Do you know what that means? That means God has made everything beautiful. That's not hard to understand, is it? That's pretty simple to understand. We can read it, we can understand it. So I need somebody to find me a passage in Ecclesiastes. Let's go one of the senior girls. Yeah, Becca, can you do that? Find me a passage in Ecclesiastes for tomorrow night, okay? And I need one of the junior boys to find me a proverb. I nearly called you Solomon, and I went, that's not right. Simba, can you find one? Find me a proverb, okay? Just one. All righty. Thank you very much for that. We're going to leave them up, and Clarice is going to be there all night writing them. All right. I think we're right to get going. Let's take our Bibles, turn to Philippians. What chapter are we in? You should have a finger in there. Some of you should have cut off a finger and laid it in there. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 is where we were. That's very good, and that's where we're going to finish off. Philippians chapter 1, when you're looking at the whole book, it is towards the end, matey. Once you've found your place, why don't you help someone in front of you, someone behind you, give them a hand. Behind where? Yeah. No, this way. Keep coming this way. Just, your leaders will come and help you. Because I'm having enough trouble finding it up here on mine. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. If you have trouble finding the passages, that's okay. We're going to move around, but you can stay in Philippians because we'll be back there, okay? So if you want to follow with me as we go to the other ones, go for your life. That's all well and good. But if you're having trouble moving around, then that'll be okay. All right. You can just stay in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Remember reading that? Sound familiar? All righty, well, let's pray tonight because we need the Lord's help. You need to pray that the Lord would help me. I need the Lord's help to preach tonight. And you need to pray that the Lord would help you because whether you know it or not, you need the Lord's help to hear tonight. So let's pray that the Lord would help me preach and he'd help you hear. Okay? Let's agree together on that. So let's go and pray. My Lord, I thank you that we can come before you. Young and old, Lord, we can stand in prayer to you and ask for your help. I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray, dear Jesus, that as we come to you, that you'd help me tonight. Lord, I need your help to preach. Without you, Lord, I can't do it. So, Lord, I pray you'd help me. And, Lord, all of us here, we need your help to hear. I pray, dear Lord, you'd help us hear tonight. We'd be hearers of the word. We'd understand it, and you would open it up to us. So, Lord, we ask you'd help tonight. Without you, Lord, we can do nothing. In you, we live and breathe and have our being. So, Lord, we ask you'd help. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. I don't know whose this is, but I'm going to fiddle with it all night, just so you know, and then you can have your little bookmark marker back. Okay? I thought I recognized it. All right. So, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. We talked about, has the Lord begun a work in you? I asked you, has the Lord begun a work in you? I got you to write down some questions. You should all have at least 6 questions. And you should be thinking about those questions and considering whether you know the answer to those questions or not. And as you think over those questions, we looked at the Lord beginning a work in you. And we talked about the fact that what the Lord does when he starts working on you is this. He starts just doing some poking. And you don't quite feel it like that, but it's like he's trying, they got you there, see? You try and block him, he comes in on the other side, like that. Because he's trying to get your attention. And he was doing that to Paul. And he said, Paul, you've been kicking against the pricks. Lacey's got a busted ankle. I said, you kick somebody? She said, no, just twisted it. I think she's been kicking people. You know, God was trying to get Paul's attention. You know what Paul was doing? He was kicking against God. That's a bit of a tantrum, isn't it? Throw a little tanty and kick against God because you don't like him trying to get your attention. That's what Paul was doing. And eventually, he went from just God prodding him to God speaking to him, and he heard. God spoke to Paul, and Paul heard God speak to him. We looked at the Lord beginning a work in Paul. But the Bible here doesn't just say that being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. It doesn't just say God will begin a work. He said that he hath begun a good work will, what's it say there? Someone read it for me. What's God going to do with the work in you? He will what?
Perform it.
Perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to begin a work in you and he's going to perform that work. Thank you. That is splendid. He's going to perform that work or accomplish that work until the day of Jesus Christ. Until the day that Christ comes back, until the day that you stand there before Jesus, he's going to be working on you to finish that work. God doesn't start something and pack it in. You look like a projects man, Cam. I'd say you got some projects on the go, right? A few. Rightio. Should I ask you or your wife how many unfinished projects you got? I'm a projects guy. I got lots of unfinished projects. There's things, I probably got a project I started when you were in youth camp. It's probably still not finished. That's not the Lord. He finishes his projects. He works on them. And he doesn't stop working on them. See, God has a work that he wants to do on us, and he's going to keep at it. He's going to keep working on us. And he had a work to do on Paul. Go with me to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. If you have trouble flicking around, that's okay. You just hang there in Philippians and listen up. But if you want to follow along, Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. See, we were already read where Paul had the Lord had begun a work on him, and he'd spoken to the Lord. The Lord had spoken to Paul, and Paul had spoken with the Lord. But the Lord said unto him, into another man, he's talking to Ananias now, about Paul. Paul's spoken to the Lord, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And Paul said, well, what will you have me to do? Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it, Lord. I'm yours. And he sent him off to another town, and he talked to a man by the name of Ananias, and Ananias didn't want to go and see Paul. But God said this about Paul. He said, Paul is a chosen vessel unto me, in verse 15. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. God said to Paul, I said about Paul, I got something I want Paul to do. Do you know God doesn't waste his time? He doesn't work on something for nothing. He's prodding you. He's poking at you, trying to get your attention, trying to get you to talk to him. You know why? Because he wants to talk with you. Because he's got something for you. He's got a work he wants to do on you. And he's got something he wants to accomplish in you, something he wants you to do, something he wants to achieve in you. And this is what was going on in Paul's life. And if you go over to 2 Timothy, you find that Paul talks about in chapter 1 there, how he was, this is towards the end of Paul, this is a long time after Paul had been saved and gotten right with God. And you know what he says? He says, God used me to get the word of God to the Gentiles. See, God said, this is a chosen vessel to shine my light to the Gentiles. At the end of it all, Paul said, you know what God did with me? He let me get the light of God to the Gentiles. Because God had a work he wanted to do on Paul. And God accomplished that work. You know what the interesting thing is? Some of you Bible scholars here, put your hand up if you're a Bible scholar. Ooh, some confidence. I like it. What's a Bible scholar? Someone who has studied the Bible and knows a bit about it. So you know how you might go, you might have a professional in a field of expertise. Paul was to shine the light to the Gentiles, but who was the light? God, Jesus. We got lots of Bible scholars. Jesus was the light. You know what God wanted Paul to do? Ultimately, God wanted Paul to be a bit like Jesus. That's what he wanted Paul to be. He didn't want him to be Jesus. He just wanted him to be a bit like Jesus. Jesus was the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And God wanted Paul to carry that light. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to slow down in a minute, but I've got some groundwork. I've got some things I just want to lay in front of you just to bring us from last night to tonight. Romans chapter 8, and the Bible says this. Stick with me and we'll slow down in a minute. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. We're just kind of taking the bypass, just the linking road to get us to where we want to be tonight. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow. The Bible says, for who God did foreknow, he also did predestinate. That's a big old word. You know what it means? It means it's what he determined was going to happen. Do you know what? My kids were predestined. There were some things that were predestined about my children. It was just predestined that Lily's name was going to be Highland. That was predestined by me. You know what else was predestined by me? That at dinner time she was going to eat all her dinner. I predetermined that. Before I knew her, I predetermined that. Good thing I did, too. We won't go there, will we, Lil? Did you eat all your dinner tonight? Oh, yeah, you hesitate. Clarice, did she eat all her dinner tonight? Oh, she did. Good. That's good. Just thought I'd check in. All right, so the Bible says here that for God's children, God predetermined some things. He predestined some things. You know what he did? Here it is. I lost my spot. Where was I supposed to be? Verse 29. To be conformed to the image of his son. God said, I got something that my children are going to be. They're going to be conformed to the image of my son. Who's God's son? Let's bring these back in. Who's God's son? Sorry? Pardon? Yeah. Do you know who God's son is? Who is the son of God? What's another name we might give to that? Good man. Look at that. We'll make a Bible scholar out of you yet. Jesus is the son of God. And the Bible says here that it's predetermined that if you become a child of God, you're going to be conformed to the image of God's son. Tennille, you've been busting for me to... Where are you? Is it Tennille? You've been busting... To me. You've been busting for me to throw these at you. So we're just going to do some conforming. We're going to conform this little fella into this shape. Are you ready? It will. Look, it is now, apart from the little hanging out bits, and Tamil, I just need you to stand up. Tamim, I need you to stand up. Are you ready? Do you really, like, now that I've conformed it, are we still going to throw this thing? No. it's not quite what it was, is it? It's been changed. I mean, it's still there, but it's been changed, and it's not as appealing to smack you up the side of the head anymore, is it? I mean, beforehand... But it's been changed, so it's not the same as what it was. You know what I did? This ball is now the shape of this container on the inside. It's being conformed to a different shape than it naturally is. You know what it naturally is? It's naturally a circle. Naturally, you're not the image of Christ anymore. Your natural man, it doesn't look like God anymore. But if you become a child of God, the sort of person you are, God says, I'm going to conform you into my image. To make us like Christ. To be Christ-like. One other reference, and then we're going to really just slow down and have some fun and enjoy the Bible for a minute. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to stay there for a little while. Ephesians chapter 4, and then we'll just settle in here and make ourselves comfortable. Here we go. Ephesians 4, verse 6. There's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This is talking about Christians. And then the Bible says this, wherefore he saith when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. That when Jesus went up into heaven, he gave gifts unto men. It tells us what some of the gifts are. He gave some apostles, but he gave some prophets, some evangelists, and he gave some pastors and teachers. Do you know a pastor? Hands up if you know a pastor. Who's a pastor, Clarice? I am. Well done. Oh, intercept. Nicely done. Sophia? Missed that entirely. Who's a pastor? Come again. My old age is playing up.
Rob Skiva.
Very good. How about we have another one right up the end there? And up the front. Who's a pastor? Got to have a name for me. Chuck him back, see if you can come up with a name. Pastor Buddy, I was waiting for it. I'm thinking someone's got to get there. Here's one. Does anyone know an evangelist? Ooh, what's an evangelist? Anyone with an evangelist? Fraser Young, he's an evangelist. Evangelist Glenn Weeks. So, he's a man that preaches, but he travels everywhere preaching, telling people about Jesus. You know how a pastor, Pastor Buddy Smith, he just hangs around here, right? He's been hanging around here for a fair while. Well, an evangelist, he gets on the road telling people about the gospel. Well, yeah, we might, in some ways, a missionary does the work of an evangelist, doesn't he? We might call an evangelist a missionary, won't we? So that fella back there, well, would you classify yourself as a missionary, evangelist? What are we going to go with, bro? A servant. There's a good answer. I'll just do what God tells me to. That's a good answer. God gave these gifts to the church to help us. But here's what it says. This is where I want to look at. For a reason. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and hear this, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, where is Mr. Rissa when you need him? Well, look, either your dad or your granddad would do, because you know what? I don't know anyone else that is going to measure up to the stature of a Rissa. Them boys are tall. They got some height about them. Yeah? Will could have used them getting the flag down last night. He was jumping and still too short. To measure up to the stature. God gave us the church. He gave us evangelists, pastors, teachers, the apostles, prophets. He gave us them for this. Until we come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to measure up to Jesus. He wants you to come to the stature of Jesus. You know why? Anyone know why God wants us to come to the stature of Jesus? Measure up to that. Oh, dive, bro. So we can be pure, not have any more sin? It pleases him and glorifies him. Now, there's a good answer. That helps me out a little. It glorifies him. Do you know why it glorifies God? I might get some volunteer. Can I have some volunteers? Yeah, you'll do, buddy. Come on up. Baxter? Turn around for... Is that Baxter? No, that's Baxter. That's Nathaniel. Have you got your name? I'll call you Jim. All right, I need some more. Let's go. Come on. I'll take that as a hand. Let's go. Yeah, Jay Lee, come on up. You might have been itching. You might have been scratching, but I'm going to take it as a hand. All right, Sam, I need you up. Let's give me one more. Gav, come on up. Get someone who hasn't. All right, so we're just going to do a little comparison here, right? We're just going to do a little comparison. There we go. They're obeying themselves. They're behaving themselves. All right. Where'd you go?
Yeah.
Why would us measuring up to the stature of Christ bring God glory? If Leanne here, is it Leanne? Jay Lee. I've been having trouble with Jay Lee's name, and every time I look at Jay Lee, I think Leanne. I don't know why. You don't look like Leanne. So, if Jay Lee did something absolutely amazing with her life, would that glorify me? Like if she just if she invents something that just helps all of mankind, is that going to glorify me? No, you need to go and sit down because you're no help to me. If Jim here, if he mows more lawns than anybody else in the world has ever mown, is that going to bring glory to me?
Yes.
How? How is it going to bring glory to me? I'm going to be happy for him, but that doesn't bring me glory. So he's not going to bring me glory. Well, you can go and sit down.
Thanks.
If Gav here, look, he measures up, doesn't he? He almost measures up to my stature. If Gav here, Gareth, I've been calling you Gavin all my life.
Yeah, that'll do.
That'll do. If Gavin here, if he out-preaches Spurgeon, I mean, he just goes to town preaching. He becomes the most profound preacher this world has seen in modern history. Is that going to bring me glory?
Yes.
How is it going to bring me glory if he goes preaching? I don't even know his name. It's got nothing to do with me. You can go sit. They don't know what they're talking about. You can go sit down. If Samantha, you got the makeup off, it's Sam. If Sam gets married, and he'll be available in a few years, if he gets married and raises some beautiful kids that go on to be good, godly people, will that bring me glory?
Yes.
Hands up if it will, yes. Yeah. You know, if you got your hand up, you're right. If you got your hand down, you're wrong. Can anyone tell me why him doing something just like raising a godly family will bring me glory? Why? It's all just you guys that keep on having answers, and I'm... Oh, Takoa, you don't have much to say. I'll take you. Because he's my son. You see how he looks a bit like me?
No.
Now you see it, right? Yes, he is. He is my son. And because he's my son, what he does comes back to me. Okay? So anything he achieves in life that's good, you can say, well done, Luke. Okay, go sit down, bud. Thank you. Way back in Genesis, God said, let us make lemurs in our image? No. Did he say, let us make leopards in our image? No, he didn't. You know what he said? He said, let us make man in our image. Do you know what you are? You are a reflection of God. Do you know what an image is? It's not the real thing. Let's see if we've got this thing working now. Are we good to go? Well, we just got to pick the sauce. I do that up here. We want tomato sauce.
Oh, barbecue.
There's some tomato sauce. Barbecue way better.
It's not playing the game.
That's Australian, but it's called BBQ.
Why isn't it playing? Hey, there we go. Now what have I done? All right. So how do we get all that off? Let's just go. Hey, there we go. Oh, all right. So let's see if we can't. That'll do, right? How's your seasickness? All right, everybody focus on the camera. All right, so I want you to see this. See that? Wait. You look like a trustworthy person. Could you grab those two balls for me? And I want you, I want you to throw them as hard at you as you can at my image. Okay, no, it's not me. At my image. Okay, so go, let's go. Go, see if you can hit me. Let's go. All right, somebody else. You can. No, at the image. Oh! All right. So hang on a second. I want you to see something. You know what that thing does up there? That thing up there? It just copies me. Whatever I do, it just does. You know what? I trust that. I trust that thing up there to just do what I do. Okay? If I want to go bobblehead, it just goes bobblehead with me. Right? But I tell you, if that up there is supposed to be my image and it's that image, oh, we've got trouble. Because that, if you hadn't noticed, that doesn't look like me. Right? And you know, I was thinking about, are you camera shy? If you are, we're just going to stay here for a little while. It's like facing your fears. You know what an image is supposed to be? It's supposed to look like me. Yeah, I could probably look at parts I haven't looked at for a long time. No one's looking in my ear. You'll see things in there that don't want to be seen. So here's the thing. Listen up to me. God made you in His image. Right? And you know what my image is supposed to do? My image is supposed to do what I do. If it starts doing something different, then I've got a problem with my image. I've got a problem with how I'm supposed to look. We just perched. How about we do that? There we go. We just leave that there for a minute. God said, let us make man in our image. He said, I want them to look like me. I want them to behave like me. I want them to be reflections of me. What's your name, buddy? Sorry? Jonah. Is Jonah upside down? But his image is upside down, isn't it? Let me ask you something. Can Jonah get hungry?
Yes.
Can his image get hungry?
Yes.
Can Jonah feel pain? We won't test that.
No.
But his image can't. See, there's things that Jonah is. There's things that Jonah is that his image isn't. There's things that God is that we as his image aren't. Okay? I know. Now it's boring. We might come back to that in a minute. God made us to reflect Him. When you stand in front of a mirror, you want your mirror to copy you. If your mirror starts doing something different, you run out of the room screaming, right? That mirror is not supposed to just do its own thing. God made us to accomplish something. If we do not accomplish what God has made us to accomplish, what should God do? If you spend all your time to make something and it does not do the job that it's supposed to do, what will you do with that? Just rhetorical questions, which means we don't want to answer right now. If you plant a field so that you can have a harvest off that field and it doesn't give you the fruit you want, what would you do? If you planted a tree and year after year it didn't give you the mangoes you wanted, what would you do with that tree? Hebrews tells us about a paddock. A paddock that sucked up the rain and brought forth harvest for the farmer to be able to enjoy the fruit of the harvest. And so he kept planting his seeds there, and that cat paddock kept on bringing back food. And then Hebrews talks about another paddock that sucked up all the water and just gave back weeds. What do you do with a paddock that's just given back weeds? No, these boys over here, who said that? You know what to do with a paddock that doesn't give, you burn the paddock. It don't matter who said it first, you boys are both right. If a paddock is full of weeds and it's supposed to be full of food and fruit, you burn the paddock. You boys listen to what I'm saying, you listen to what came out of your own mouths. If that paddock doesn't do what it's supposed to do, you burn the paddock. I'm just going to slowly bring these dots a little closer together. Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at a paddock. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talks about a paddock here. Verse 24, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, in his paddock. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares or weeds amongst the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the weeds, the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then are the tares? Where are the weeds come from? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou that we go and gather them up? And he said, No. Nay, lest while we gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will set the reapers. They will gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. This farmer said, I put wheat out there and I expect to harvest wheat. And if there's anything in there that's not wheat, it'll burn. I'll gather it and I'll burn it. Jesus' disciples said, explain this to us. What does this mean? So Jesus explained it to them. He said this. He that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Jesus. He said the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. They're the children of God. But the tares, the weeds, they're the children of the wicked one. The enemy hath sowed them, that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. He says, As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity or wickedness, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The parable here is God planted a field. And in that field is supposed to be wheat, but there's a bunch of weeds. And he said, I'm going to pull the weeds out one day and they're going to get thrown in the fire. So that the wheat can go to where it needs to go. God doesn't have a field of wheat. He has a field of people. Wheat is to turn into bread. People are to reflect God. We're to be the image of God. God made you with a purpose, and that was to reflect Him. If you, in your life, at the end of your days, if you don't reflect God, you'll be cast into a lake of fire. That's a scary truth. You know why we talked about last night how you turn weeds into wheat? Because if you're a weed and you got no hope, then there is no such thing as good news, is there? If all you are is a weed and you can't be made into wheat, then there ain't no good news attached to that truth about the judgment of God. But God so loved the world. He said, I don't want the weeds to stay weeds. I don't want the lost to stay lost. I want the weeds to turn into wheat. I want the goats to be able to turn into lambs. He said, I want those that are just living a life of the flesh to be able to live a spiritual life, to be born again. God loves you. But He's made you for a purpose, and if you don't fulfill the purpose God made you for, He will condemn us to hell. And He made you that you might be in His image, that you might be conformed to the images of His dear Son, that you might be like Christ. And you can't do that. I can't do that. I look at that and go, well, I'm sunk. In the Gospel of John, the Bible says that the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. And that the Word, that God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Have you ever read that? Anyone heard that before? That the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and the Bible says, we beheld His glory. We saw Christ, and we beheld the glory of God. In Christ, we saw His glory. That's who Jesus is. That's the stature we need to measure up to. We can't do it. We beheld His glory. When you look at who Jesus is, when you look at all of what Jesus did, the life that Jesus lived. Let me read you something here. I won't get you to turn there. I'll just read it. It's in John chapter 6. But just listen. Mark it down if you want to look at it later on. In John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believed not. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And Jesus said this, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it again at the last day. Jesus said, I'm not here to do my will. Jesus said, I came to do the Father's will. That's why Jesus was here. Let me ask you something. If you need to measure up to the stature of Christ, and Christ came to do the will of the Father, whose will are you fulfilling? When you make your decisions in your life, do you worry about your will, or do you worry about God's will? Jesus worried about the Father's will. That was the will that he fulfilled. And you know what the Bible says about us? It says we are all like sheep that have gone astray. We have gone our own way. You know what that all means? That all means that just us in our natural state, we're not doing the job God made us to do. We're a field that isn't bringing forth the fruit we're supposed to. We're a tool that can't be used for why God made us. We're sunk. The Bible sums it up real short. For all have sinned and come short of the... Someone finish it? Glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you know what we saw in Jesus? We beheld the glory of God. You know what we come short of? We come short of the stature of Christ. In Christ, we beheld the glory of God. But you and me, we come short. We measure up insufficient. That's a bit of a sad story, isn't it? I hope you find that a bit of a sad story. You know what a sobering story is? A sobering story is a story that takes the laughter out of us. We just want to laugh all the time. Every now and then you need to stop laughing and think a little. Tonight we're just going to stop laughing for a minute. Just going to think a little. That if you don't measure up, then you're in trouble. What I read to you about us being sheep that have gone astray, it's found in Isaiah. If you don't write down any other verse, write down this verse. Isaiah 53. We're going to talk tomorrow about the remedy to our state. But you know what? You remember last night I told you how I was lost? Do you remember how I told you I was lost? You know what the first thing you need to do? You know what? Before you ever fix anything else, you know what needs to happen when you're lost? You need to realize you're lost. If you don't think you're lost, you're just going to keep on wandering and figuring out, I get my own way there. I can do this. Unless you realize that you're lost, you're not going to look for any help. Unless you realize you're blind, you're never going to want to see. Unless you realize you're deaf, you're never going to want to hear. Unless you realize you're dead, you're never going to want to be alive. I hope that tonight you can see you're in trouble. That as mankind, we're all in trouble. Isaiah 53 says, I need to stop talking and just find the passage I'm after. Isaiah 53, and we are very nearly done. You guys are great at paying attention. Really appreciate it. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he, I was talking about Jesus, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. If I've made you a bit, if I've caused you some sorrow tonight, if I've caused you to go, well, hey, I don't much like the sound of that, I can't fix it. But Jesus can carry that grief. Jesus can carry that sorrow. Surely, surely, he hath borne our griefs, he hath carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. What is that talking about? Hands up. What is that talking about? Oh, Sam, a bit quicker. When was Jesus wounded for our transgressions? That's talking about the cross of Calvary. Surely he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. But our chastisement was our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And you know what it says back there in verse 5? With his stripes we are healed. Do you know what a paddock needs that is destined to be burnt? It needs someone to come along and miraculously and impossibly turn its weeds into wheat and save it from the fire. Do you know what a goat that is set for destruction is? You know what it needs? It needs someone to come along and miraculously turn it from being a goat set for destruction into a sheep set for the master's use. You know what we need in this life where we just have a life of flesh? Hands up if you know someone that's died. Most of you know someone that's died. So most of you are aware of the fact that one day, all this handsomeness that you see in front of you right now, one day this is going to be an ugly old skeleton laying in the bones, laying in the ground, fertilizing the grass above it. This is temporary. You need to be born again. You need to be healed. You need Jesus. Why are you at camp this week? Why has God got you at camp this week? You know what you need? You need Christ. I hope you didn't just hear me tonight. I hope God spoke to you. I hope you've had an ear to hear. We've got a bunch of fun to have. We're going to go have it shortly. But before we do, we're just going to bow our heads and we're going to pray. And when I'm finished praying, I want you all to just wander out there and sit quietly on the steps out there and see if you can find yourself a shooting star. Okay? Sit out there and see if you can find a star up in the sky. And I know I've said some things that are sobering tonight. And if you're sitting here going, I'm worried about something you said, I want you to stay in here and talk to me or talk to one of the other camp leaders here that's going to hang back. Because I don't want you to leave here going, I'm worried and I need some answers. If you're worried, that's a good thing. But if you're scared and got no answers, that's not a good thing. We don't want to be hopeless. So we're going to pray and you're going to quietly go out there and sit out on them steps. And please, if you need to talk to someone, then just stay here. Okay? Just stay here. Let's close our eyes and pray. My Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, for making us in your image. Lord, we don't measure up. We've gone our own way. Sin has ruined us, Lord. And we need you. I thank you, Lord, for those that you've found. I thank you, Lord, for those that you've turned from tares into wheat. Weeds to wheat, Lord. And Lord, I pray that if there's some souls here tonight that you're working on, Lord, if you've been pricking some kids tonight, if you've been speaking to them, if they've heard from you, Lord, I pray you give them the courage they need to stay and talk tonight. It takes some courage, Lord. I pray you'd strengthen them. Lord, I ask that you have your hand upon us. As we close, Lord, I pray. pray that you would do a work in each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to quietly stand up, and I want you to quietly walk out, and I want you to stay if you need to stay.